This is the Friday, December 30, 2022 installment of Market Plus. Don Rose across from us here at the table. And I dared people to come watch Market Plus, so we'll see how this works, Don. Because sure. You know how this segment goes. It's usually whatever's on my mind. I don't have as much of a tight script. So the first thing I want to answer or ask is a question from Facebook. Mike in Nebraska wants to know, which commodity surprised you the most in 2022?
Well, I think in general, the biggest surprise is the fact that inflation, how rampant it was and what it did to farmland, machinery, just to a lot of things. But I think that also was a factor in pushing up the break-evens and pushing up the price of the grain. So I think it's inflation helped hold things together, Paul.
Was there one? Did the commodities all kind of perform the same given the inflation that you're referring to?
I think the biggest surprise, you have to say, was the wheat market hitting $13. Who would have thought? It was almost like the Russian grain robbery that we had in the 70s. Would have you anticipated Russia attacking Ukraine? Probably not. So that has to be probably the biggest surprise of 22.
Well, and guess what? We're going to ask you some questions about 23 here in a moment. But we'll start with Glenn in Ohio. Our friend Glenn wants to know, which grain or livestock commodity will generate the largest percentage move in 2023?
Well, and I think if you have to look at it to the upside, is probably more limited. I'd say the grain that has the biggest chance for the biggest drop is probably the soybeans because they're pretty lofty. And if South America takes a lot of our demand away from us, we end up with bigger acres and a bigger yield.
Are we ignoring Brazil right now in the trade? We always talk about Argentina and their dryness, but my goodness, Brazil seems to be putting together a pretty good crop.
Well, to put it in perspective, Brazil raises over three times the volume of soybeans that Argentina does. Last year was just the opposite. Argentina had a pretty good rice crop. Brazil had a drought. So I would say that the big miss will be if people lose track that Brazil compensates and Paraguay, they compensate for the losses in Argentina and Uruguay.
So if Brazil beats expectations dramatically, or do they not even have to beat expectations dramatically to cause some panic?
No, we're talking about almost a $5 billion, over 152 million metric ton crop. And what if that would go to 156 million? I mean, you're talking the ability to put 150, 200 million bushels more on the Brazil crop just like that. So, and to put it in perspective, we just started harvesting this week the very early maturities of soybeans in Mato Grosso. So big harvest will pick up as we hit February.
And we'll find out how those stories work and see how it all plays out. So thank you, Glenn. Let's move to Bradley in Nebraska. You kind of touched a little bit on this in the main program, Don. He says, will the massive wheat crop in Australia be large enough to offset the reduction in fall planted wheat acres in Ukraine?
Well, you know, Ukraine does have an issue. There's no doubt about it. But I think if you look at it from a world standpoint, we still have very adequate supplies in the world. The only tight area that could be is the Black Sea. But remember, Russia had a record crop this last year. They could do it again next year. So Russia's compensating for Ukraine.
Will we ever really know what Ukraine grew? I mean, do we ever think we get true numbers out of this?
Well, I mean, I think it's difficult. But put it in perspective. Europe, the EU had a drought last year also in wheat. Ukraine had a problem. And here we're sitting wheat at this level. Russia continues to sell wheat below the world market. And by the way, Ukraine is selling corn a dollar below the U.S. Gulf in the world. So you've got some people that in the Black Sea area that are trying to clear some grain and get some currency.
So you're saying that's only about a currency issue then? That's not necessarily we're just moving grain to get it out because it's spoiled? You know, something may have, I mean, you think of all the power disruptions in some of these countries. You're saying it's more of, we just need some money.
I think they just need money. I mean, you know, look at what's happened to Russia, how much they're spending. Ukraine, of course, the U.S. and the world is helping them greatly, but they still have to help themselves. So I think it's a lot about just trying to get some funds around them.
Okay. All right. Got to get some cash. We know what that's like. Sometimes have to make deals. Mike in Oklahoma, Don, has a question for you. What's going to be 2023's bull and bear. You've kind of covered it a little bit. I think, let's recap. Let me see if I've been listening right. You're saying the bear is going to be soybeans. He wants you to pick a bull for 23.
Well, I think the bull, if you had to say is going to be a bull, it's probably going to be the oats market.
Okay.
Because I think people look around to other things that are more profitable. Oats are still at a pretty low price, so they have the best chance to go up. So I'd say it's the oats on the upside, beans on the downside. And, you know, I'd say on the upside, where do you think, if you're really bullish, where do you think the grain market's going from here?
You mentioned oats. Does sorghum have an uptick too?
Sorghum, you would think it would, but for some reason, China, they were supposed to be a big buyer of sorghum, and they've been basically out of the market, so that's a negative. Sorghum is getting the strength from, you know, the southern plains where they're short of crop down through that area.
When you say losses or a down, and somebody asked you earlier about percentages, want to stick your neck out a little bit about some percentages? I mean, how big are we talking here? Are we going back to 2019 prices?
Well, let's look back 2 years ago. The government's saying on corn, $6.70 is going to be our average price this year. Last year they said it was $6. I mean, that's in the bank. And the year before it was $4.53 for an average. So is this a blip the last 2 years, or are we going to go back to normal? Now, historically, if you look back over history, we do move to new levels. You know, we're not trading at a dollar corn or $2 anymore. But what happens is we usually come back to some kind of equilibrium. And the reason we do is because the rest of the world produces, our yields go up, and we sell gross dollars per acre. We don't sell bushels.
Well, here's another factor to figure into this, and it's Scott in Wisconsin's question. Again, thank you everybody for your questions. With the shrinking herd, will Americans still pay for the higher price of beef, or will demand take a hit in the future? The old saying we said in the beginning of the program, is this a little bit of high prices being the cure for high prices?
Well, I think it's going to be what happens to the economy this next year. It's really quite amazing. So far, as we went through the rest of the year, as beef moved up, beef was still the protein choice by the consumer, followed by poultry, which is surprising, then pork. So I would say that's the limiting factor, and you have to be very careful, Paul. If we go into a big recession, the consumer goes to the grocery store, it's going to be easy to buy another protein that's a lot cheaper.
But we had a question, I didn't make it on the list here, it was about eggs, chickens. We talk about avian flu. It has been a continued problem, euthanizing millions and millions of birds. Poultry's not going to be able to provide any assistance to this high beef or high pork.
Well, if you look at it next year, they're actually the poultry production is supposed to go up. 1-2%, so adding some. I tell you, the real issue with a lot of things, Paul, is just not just in agriculture, but it's inflation in everything. So does that moderate? Do we have some kind of a pullback? And do we get back to a supply chain that's normal? I think that's what we're kind of talking about.
Well, that was the story at the end of the year, was that the supply chain issues mostly were smoothed. But then there's also that question of, when you talk about that inflation release, we've seen 2 to 3 months of lower. We talked about, I think June was 9.1%. We were down to 7.1 in November. Do you think the trend has turned on inflation? We've hit the, as Dave likes to write, hit the bell?
Well, the Fed is certainly really bent on that we're going to go to 2% regardless. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't look like anything's going to change fast. To get down from our area we're at down to 2% is going to take some time, and let's just see how it goes. But I think you have to bank that, you know, it's going to be a long fight rather than a short fight.
A lot of good questions here from James, Andy, Josh, and Matthew. But I think, Don, what I'm going to finish with, let's hit, you've talked about Ukraine. Let's talk Josh in Illinois here. Josh asked us on Facebook about going into next year. Will we begin to see demand destruction in corn and soybeans due to elevated price levels? If so, how much? I think I've talked about this issue. Everything else What about demand destruction?
You're seeing it big time. I mean, our exports in corn are down 47%, and I think that's the big risk. You have your ethanol down 9% right now, so you're getting nailed on both ends. And if our acres go up next year on corn, 3 to 4 million, what happens? If our soybean acres don't go down, steal some acres from cotton. So I would say our exports are up 4% on soybeans, but we haven't hit the big competition. I think that the exports will drop off the scale here shortly, and just China will switch their buying to South America, and that probably happens starting next week.
You cheated. You looked at my paper. I circled the word acres. I was going to ask you about that real quick. So you see cotton's going to lose some acres, you think, to soybeans?
I think cotton loses acres to soybeans. Corn gains acres because of the flip last year, the more profitability. So it's going to be an interesting fight for acres. And then, of course, the weather, we can't say enough about it always. What happens with the spring? It looks like a lot of fall work was done. So, you know, do we have a good spring? Could, if El Nino starts to look like it develops in the winter.
Well, if we change like we did from one week to the other, it's going to be planting season next week. All right, Don Rose, thank you so much. Great to see you.
Thank you, Paul.
Happy New Year as well.
Happy New Year to you and all your listeners.
Thank you so much. That is going to do it for Market Plus. Next week, we are going to look at one of the nation's leading duck producers as they learn how to hit life's economic curveballs. And we'll also have market analysis with Mark Gold. Thank you so very much for joining us here on Market Plus. We will see you in the new year.